Welcome to the Brute Strength Podcast, bringing you worldwide experts from all areas of health and fitness. We cover training, nutrition, coaching, and mindset. Welcome your host, strength and conditioning coach, 2012 and 2013 CrossFit Games champ, Michael Cashew. Mind, body, brute.
Hey everyone, welcome back. My name is Mike Cashew and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. We're just going to roll right into this one. I'm back on the show with my beautiful wife, Adi Cashew. And today we're going to talk all about personal development. In our last show together, we talked all about sex and the one before that, all about relationships. And those two podcasts, both of us have been on, I don't know, upwards of 30 to 50 podcasts ourselves. I've recorded 150 myself. And we got more feedback and people reaching out to us on those two podcasts than anything we've ever done. And so we realized a couple things. One, I think you guys like hearing us talk to each other and specifically talking about development in some way. We've talked a lot about relationship development. We've talked a lot about health and fitness, and people always come up to us asking us about different personal development things that we talk about on the show or Instagram. So we're going to do a show all about that.
Cool. Awesome.
So let's start with this. What is personal development? What is it to you, Adi?
Personal development. I feel like that could mean so many different things, but to me, personal development is constantly challenging myself and trying to learn more about myself in an honest way. So how can I understand myself better and use that understanding to live a happier and more fulfilled life?
I would totally agree with that. And I would go a little more detailed in that personal development can be development in any sense. It can be developing our intellect, our careers, our health, our relationships. It is literally just developing some part of yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that you're one of the, so there's this thing called speed of implementation. And we know that there have been a lot of studies on like successful business owners and entrepreneurs. And one of, if not the biggest factor of what makes them successful is speed of implementation. They learn a new idea or way of being or leading, and they implement it really, really quickly. And when it comes to personal development, I think you're absolutely one of the quickest I've ever met. Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. I think that I definitely can see something that could potentially serve me. And I have this like feeling inside of like wanting to get the results right away. Like most people want to get results really quickly, but they have, what I often see, like having worked with so many people in personal development, is they have the barrier of being afraid to start. But I'm like so desperate for the results that I see somebody else getting. And I think I adopt the belief of if it's worked for them, it could definitely work for me. So I just like want it to work. So I get into it right away. But if I go a little bit deeper than that, I think that a lot of it probably has to do with the type of parents that I've had potentially. Like they gave me a lot of safety growing up. So I always felt safe to take risks and I felt well supported. I have a lot of really strong relationships in my life. So I think that I have a really strong foundation of safety that I feel like I can take risks, and it helps me be less fearful of change, I think. But I mean, that's one of my personal development things. Like I'm trying to figure that out. It's hard for me to like really pinpoint it. I mean, you know me. What do you think? Why do you think I'm able to do that?
I think that you're just very courageous in general. Like ever since I met you, you never had, I don't think you were really in the habit of being vulnerable emotionally. But as soon as we started having some deeper conversations, like you just went there so quickly. And it took me years and years and years of just therapy and AA meetings and all of these things I talk about all the time to really get to the point where I felt like I was courageous. And as soon as we started having deep conversations, you opened up really quickly, like way faster than pretty much anyone I've ever met. And I think personal development in general, we'll talk about more about this later, it just takes flat out courage. And you seem not to be afraid to look bad, like in comparison to other people, like look bad or make some mistakes or get it wrong the first time, or, you know, whatever. You seem to really just go for it because, you know, like you said, you know that if other people are getting benefits from X, Y, or Z tactic or habit or ritual, then you know that you can too. It might take a few tries, but you know that you can.
Right. Yeah. If you see anybody, thank you, first of all. Second of all, if I see somebody using something to their benefit, and oftentimes it's like, I've heard it a couple of times from like people I really highly respect, and I use that just as evidence that it's possible for me too, instead of putting them like in another category, you know, like, oh, they're different than me. I can't possibly do that. Like, they're better than me or whatever. They might be, but hey, I want to be there one day, so I got to start doing some things that they're doing.
Right. I think you take accountability for shit as soon as you see that there's some level of accountability for you to take in any situation. You take accountability for it because you know that's where power comes from, right? If we blame other people for us feeling a certain way, or we blame other people for the position we have in our job, then we have no power, right? They have all of the power. And I constantly see you taking accountability in every area of your life.
I think it's more so than even accountability. Part of courage is going into something 100%. And when you go into it 100%, it takes significantly more courage, because if you go into it all the way, the failure is generally more difficult. Like, it's going to hurt more. You've like invested more time or more of your emotions into it. If you go like halfway, it's kind of that you kind of created a cushion for yourself where you could blame a bunch of different.
Can you give an example of this?
Like, if I'm going to start a new nutrition program, right? I'm going to like dive into it all the way 100%. If I've committed to doing this nutrition program, I'm not going to cheat on it. I'm going to be dedicated to it, because at that point, if something goes wrong and it doesn't work for me, then I know that I've like done everything I could, or there's a piece of information, like I wasn't following something correctly and I was missing like a piece of information, right? So I like, let's say it's tracking your macros. I'm like super precise. If I'm really like being on top of it and I've made that commitment, I'm weighing and measuring everything I eat. I'm inputting it into my fitness pal. I'm checking in with my coach. And unless I was missing a piece of information, then if it doesn't work for me, then I know that it wasn't necessarily my fault. Like, I put 100% effort into it, and I can know that, you know, that wasn't the right choice for me. But if I only go 50% in and I like kind of eat out at restaurants sometimes, or I, you know, don't track some things, or I lie about it and I say I did and I'm not honest, then there's no way that I can say that the program didn't work for me. I want to know the answer. I want to know if these are results that I can get. And the only way to do that is to do it 100%. It's kind of like the same thing as like winning the CrossFit Games. Like, if you want to go and win the CrossFit Games, you have to be 100% all in and risk not winning when you've put everything in there. And that takes a tremendous amount of courage, because if you've only gone 75% of the way and you don't win, you could be like, oh, well, you know, I didn't do 100% of my recovery work, or I didn't do enough nutrition. But if you went 100% in and you don't win, sometimes that can be really painful. And so that's why it takes a lot of courage to risk that kind of pain.
What are some myths about personal development? You made a really cool Instagram post a couple days ago about like when the best time to do personal development is. Talk about that a little bit.
So I think the biggest myth about personal development, I don't even know if it's about personal development, because I think personal development might be like a little bit more mainstream these days. So it's like kind of putting a different spin on mental health or therapy or vulnerability, like that kind of thing. But I kind of lump them all into the same category. So in that respect, one of the biggest myths I see is that it's like a sign of weakness, or it's like when something's wrong with you. Like, couples go to couples therapy when they have problems, not when couples are thriving, where I think that's like the biggest myth about personal development. I think that I know that when you're in a state of pain or when something's wrong in your life, you're automatically more defensive. You are more sensitive. You're a little bit judgmental about yourself. You could feel shame. You could feel anxious. You could feel guilt. Like, there's so many emotions going on when you're in a problem, which doesn't mean that you can't do work in that scenario, but it definitely makes it a little bit more difficult to be open to change or to be open to seeing areas where you're not showing up, where you could be better. And personal development is all about yourself. It's not about other people. So in the scenario where you're feeling pain, you're going to be less open-minded to change, less open-minded to feedback. Like, if I was having a problem and you gave me feedback, I'd be a little bit more defensive. Like, no, I'm not doing that. Or like, I don't really think that's the problem. Like, I might be that way. Whereas when things are going awesome in your life or things are going awesome in your relationship, all of that changes. Like, you're less sensitive, you're less judgmental, you're going to be less defensive. If you pointed out a piece of feedback to me when I was like, life was kicking ass and I'm like in a really great place, I'm going to be like, really take some time to look at what you say and take it on like it could be true, and then not bite off your head because you just gave it to me. Where I think
you can level up a lot faster that way,
for sure. I think that's some of the most powerful work I've ever done was when my life was going amazing. And then all of a sudden this huge blind spot I had was, it's kind of how we met our relationship coach. Our relationship coach, we met when our relationship was great. Like, we actually had a great relationship. We still have a great relationship, but
before it went to shit.
Yeah. Our relationship with, there was no real pain points in our relationship that we had noticed. So when she pointed out some things that we could be doing better, it was like, my mind was blown. I was like, oh my gosh, I am doing that. Like, that is something I am doing. That's something I can improve on. And it wasn't like, no, he's doing that. Like, that, like, we're blaming back and forth, which a lot of people get into when they're in pain. I get there. You get there. It's so much, you can make such huge gains when you're in a good place.
Hell yeah. That's a great one. Another big one is, I think a lot of people have a preconceived notion about different ways that you have to do personal development. Like, some people think it's just in self-help books. And some people think it's just in seminars like the Landmark Forum or something like that. Personal development, like, it's become a part of our entire lives, right? Like, we treat some vacations as moments of personal development to mm-hmm. challenge us in some intentful way, right? We treat the seminars and the books the same way. We treat our relationship as a crucible by which we develop ourselves personally. Like, all of these things can be used to grow in some area of our lives.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why you should actually do personal development. Like, what's the end goal? And the first thing I want to share is that, and I really like this analogy, I'm sorry if you've heard this 10 times, guys, but I try to think of my life a little bit like I'm an elite athlete. And so what does an elite athlete do? And Adi already touched on this. An elite athlete doesn't wait. It's like a football player. An elite football player doesn't wait until his footwork goes to shit to start working on his footwork. An elite football player works on his footwork even though it's already a strength, so that he can try to become even better, right? Mm-hmm. Elite athletes are constantly trying to refine every area of their game on and off the field. And so in that same way, we're constantly searching for ways that we can improve in every area rather than just waiting until something is broken.
Yeah, 100%. Another really good reason as to why personal development is important. One of my favorite quotes of all time is the extent to which you are unconscious of a habit is the extent to which it persists. And we all have these persistent complaints in our lives that just show up over and over again, whether it's I can't seem to lose weight, or I can't seem to be committed to the gym, or I can't seem to get the job that I want, or I can't seem to make the amount of money I want to make, or I can't seem to have the relationship I want to have. These persistent complaints in your life, and a lot of that is just a lack of self-awareness throughout, I'm sure, many different areas of your life. And working on personal development can shine a light on areas that what would be like blind spots to you. These are spots that, these are things that maybe you don't know about yourself, other people don't know about yourself, or other people know about you and you don't know about yourself. And those things are going to make you a happier, healthier, and more successful human being in every single area. And the best way to do that is to start working on becoming more aware of yourself in all sorts of different scenarios. And I don't think there's like a perfect way to do that. I think there's so many different ways to do that. You and I rotate through probably 15 to 20 different types of personal development tactics and routines and actions. But if I want to, for like, I have a lot of habits that I'm unconscious of that are plaguing me in my life, and I want to become conscious of them. I want to become aware of those habits that I am not aware of so that I can get rid of them.
Exactly. So the point is so that we can become happier, more fulfilled, more successful in our professional lives, have better relationships. Anything we want to create in our lives, we can do that through developing and growing ourselves, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So let's talk about some important points about personal development. The first one is this is a belief that we have that in order to live the happiest life possible, focus on every part of your life, right? That's not to say that somebody can't be a rock star in their career and have like broken relationships. Actually, I think a lot of times at the upper end, like at the very tip of the spear, people get really unbalanced and, some areas of their lives are in shambles, but they're still really great at something. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you want to be as happy and fulfilled as possible, then you have to focus on developing every area of your life. And one of the big reasons for that is that I think that we're always either conscious or just partly unconscious of when some things are left kind of undone, right? If I'm focusing on my career, I'm kicking ass in my career and my health is in tip-top shape, but I've got a terrible marriage, at the end of the day, I'm still not going to be happy. And in fact, I'm going to be probably really unhappy. So I think if we, and a lot of people have that one area or more of their lives that they're just kind of sweeping under the rug or too afraid to really change something. And so one thing that we believe is that focus on everything.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean focus on everything at the same time.
Right.
It's not this like huge overwhelming feat, which it totally can be. Up close, this just means because you have to work, not have to, because we believe you should work on everything. It's really just about picking one. So it's like I want to be the fittest version of myself. I have to pick just like one action to move in towards that direction. We all know picking 15 actions is going to lead to failure or burnout, or I'm not going to be able to sustain that. So just pick one area of your life, focus in on that, and then you can swap between areas. It ends up, it's kind of fun. You can like focus on business for a little bit while, focus on relationships for a little while, focus on community for a little while, focus on yourself for a little while. There's so much to work on. So that doesn't mean that you should work on all of it at the same time. It's just know that there is a lot there to dive into, and that's can be very exciting.
Yeah, I kind of think about it like CrossFit. You know, when you start doing CrossFit, you realize that there are just so many different disciplines that now you get to try to master. Mm-hmm. And so then you're never bored. There's always something new to work on.
And so
it, and it makes this kind of game out of life in general that mm-hmm. there, you have limited options to grow in.
Right. Yeah, I love it.
The next big one is personal development takes courage. Adi started to talk about it a little bit. And I was, when I was giving her props, we started to talk about it. It takes courage to basically in the first place to just admit, I don't have it all figured out. I don't have a perfect relationship with my brother or my wife
or myself.
I am not the smartest guy in the room. I don't have, you know, I'm not the best business owner.
Or I'm like, it takes so much courage to admit that you are doing things that don't align with the kind of person you want to be. Like acknowledging and becoming present, like getting present with that reality is incredibly uncomfortable. Like I've definitely had moments where I've realized like, oh my gosh, like I'm totally out of align with like the kind of person I want to be. Like it might be, I'll give an example just so it's not super hypothetical, but if things are just not going well, or I perceive things in my life as not going well, I treat you in a manner that is not aligned with the kind of wife I want to be. Like I'll talk to you in a certain way. I'll say things that like I totally, like I'll just like say some statements that I know I'm going to want to take back immediately after. And I like allow myself to get there. And then just like becoming present to that and trying to notice it before I get that far is like, to admit that I even do that is painful to me. Like it makes me so uncomfortable because it makes me feel like maybe I'm not a good person or maybe I'm not the best wife. And I think that that takes a lot of courage to look at yourself in a very honest way.
Mm-hmm. So how do we build courage?
How do we build courage? I think it's probably different for everybody of how you build courage. I would like to say before we even talk about that, that the thing that's amazing about having courage in these situations and taking accountability for your own personal development is if you think about all the people that you like really resonate with or people that like moments where you've been like, man, like that person's so cool or like such a badass. It's generally when they've like been completely authentic and completely real and like owned up to things that they've got going on. That's when you're like almost proud or I don't know, you become like their fan. You become a fan of those kinds of people. So I would encourage people to like think about that and be like putting on a persona and not owning up to like your whole self, your whole authentic self, is people can tell that that's there. Even it might be a subconscious thing, but it's kind of like an energy in the air. Like, you know, when someone's like got something underneath, and you also think it's so freaking cool when people come out and talk about like the stuff that they're struggling with.
Well, we can't, it's hard for us to connect with like an image of perfection. Mm-hmm. And what we see on social media and in media in general, a lot of times is like the absolute best of people. And it's just really hard for us to relate to because we all know we have a lot of shit. And when we just see perfect, I'm like, I can't relate to that person at all. Like I've got X, Y, and Z that I'm working on. You know, I'm fucking sad right now, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And you can't connect to that. But when someone shares something that is vulnerable, like a weakness of theirs, like in the moment, it immediately connects us. People are just so attracted to people sharing their secrets and sharing their weaknesses.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So I encourage you guys to all do that because we'll love you 10 times more. But to build courage, I think to start is to at least have conversations or like small steps, like maybe one, read the book Daring Greatly is a really great start. There are a bunch of amazing books that can help give you courage by reading through their experiences and their like their research and the evidence that is out there. So if you're like a data driven person, like for me, I love like seeing the evidence of someone getting success in a certain capacity. Like the reason I loved fell in love with personal development was I met you and you had gone through addiction and you say that you became the person that you are through all of this work that you've done on yourself. Then I read Daring Greatly and I was like, oh my gosh, like I have to do this. Like, how could I live my life any other way now that I know this information? So for those types of people, I would definitely start like consuming knowledge on like if you're not ready to take some actions yourself, like just start reading, start listening. That's a good first step, I think.
And just start sharing yourself, right? I think the quickest way to start to build some self-confidence is to actually be yourself. And that almost always has to do with other people, being yourself around other people. So if you're, I don't know, let's say you're you have to do a lot of public speaking and you're really afraid of it, but you're trying to pretend like you aren't, maybe just sharing that you're scared and that you have anxiety about it with a friend can be a good first step. Because what happens is when we share a weakness with someone and then they say something like, thank you for sharing that, or okay, I still like, you're still my boy, or I still love you, or some version of that, then we're able to see that people accept us for who we really are. One of the reasons that we withhold that kind of information, that quote unquote vulnerable information, is there's a deep-seated belief that if they only knew who I really was, they wouldn't accept me. And so we try to put up a facade. We wear a mask. We put up an image of what we think people want us to be. But deep down, we know we have these vulnerabilities. So by slowly starting to share just a little bit at a time with people really close to us, we can start to build the muscle of courage. It'll never become comfortable. If it were, it wouldn't be called vulnerable anymore. It'll never become comfortable, but I think kind of jumping into the deep end and like just taking that step, and the step being sharing something vulnerable, it becomes you get a little bit quicker with how fast you take that step.
Yeah. And just a tip for people that are a little bit hesitant to, you know, share some of their fears or anxieties or things that they're thinking that they think other people might not accept. Choose the person you're going to share with a little bit carefully. Like, make sure this person has totally got your back. Make sure they're somebody you love and trust. Preface it with, hey, I want to share something with you that's like really hard for me to share, just so that person knows that, you know, their reaction is gonna matter, you know, because the worst thing in the world would be to share something that took a lot of courage to share with somebody and them, you know, their reaction, they didn't think it was that big of a deal, or they didn't understand that this was a really difficult thing for you to do. And then their immediate reaction is like, pah, that's not even a big deal. Like, I've public spoke like 1,000 times, or, and they all of a sudden like make you feel really small for having that fear. And then it makes you 10 times less likely to share ever again. So just, especially if you're like hesitant on it and someone's reaction is going to affect you, just use a couple before you share, just like make sure they know that this is something really hard for you to do, and preface it and make sure that person is somebody that you really love and trust.
Great point. Next one is personal development, like actually implementing and changing things. Mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with integrity. Integrity is doing what you say when you're going to do it. And a lot of people talk about integrity in relation to others, right? Like, I told you I was going to be at the house at 6 p.m. So me being in integrity with you is showing up at 6 p.m. or earlier. If I show up at 6:02, then I'm out of integrity. And if you look at it in terms of like integrity of a house, the integrity of a house is all about the foundation. If I show up at 6:02 and I do that over and over, there's a very weak foundation, right? You don't trust me. You don't trust me to do what I say I'm going to do.
looking at ourselves, anytime we make a commitment and then we don't follow through on that, we don't trust ourselves. And so then it makes it really hard to, it makes it really hard to commit to things because we think, fuck, I've tried this 100 times. What makes now any different, right? I've tried to start waking up early every morning and I always just hit the snooze button or whatever it may be. Like we just have no trust with ourselves.
Yeah, it turns into the, oh, I just can't do that. Or that's just like not for me. Or it turns into I've tried that a million times, but maybe you tried it out of integrity with yourself and you didn't try it in like being in integrity and developing trust with yourself.
So now let's talk about how to get into integrity.
Okay. Right?
In order to get into integrity, you basically just have to make and keep one promise to yourself.
Right. And I think it can be literally the simplest thing in the world. For me, for a really long time, it was making my bed in the morning. When I met Michael, I was probably, maybe this would be a shock to everybody who's listening, I was so messy. Like my mother would believe it. If you're listening, Mom, I know I was very messy. And I didn't realize at the time how that was affecting my life. And then I started living with you and
I don't think you even knew you were messy.
I like was completely unaware of it. Like I didn't see the mess. Like I would walk by it and it just
we're
so
talking about like frat house
mess. I was messy and it was so insignificant to me that I just didn't even see it. And when you pointed it out to me and helped me realize like that my life could be better if I was cleaner and I had better integrity with myself in terms of like having a tidy space and more legitimate space, just making my bed in the morning was a huge win for me. So I never made my bed. And then I made my bed one time in the morning and then I would get back to the bed at the end of the day and it was a made bed at the end of the day. And it just feels so good to get into a bed that was made and like the sheets are pulled up and the pillows are done. And then that felt really good. And then I'm like, oh, like cool. I've actually kept a promise that I kept to myself. It doesn't have to be this like grand gesture to yourself. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to eat, you know, I'm not going to eat sugar for 7 months. It doesn't have to be something like that's really difficult to accomplish. It could just be as simple as making your bed in the morning.
Right. Yeah. We can't expect to build an entire house if we can't even trust ourselves to nail 2 boards together. Right?
Exactly.
So our somebody that we follow a lot, his name is Jordan Peterson. He's a psychologist in Canada. And he has a really interesting view that most people, the biggest mistake they make in life is they don't aim small enough. While so many self-help gurus and other personal development people are talking about, like, you got to aim high, you know, shoot for the moon. And if you miss, you're still
in the stars,
something like that. Right. But his point is that we don't shoot for something attainable so that we can actually start building integrity and a sense of trust in ourselves. So start with something small. Maybe it's making your bed. If your goal is losing 200 pounds, then maybe it's just getting to the gym for 3 days this week.
Or cooking one meal a week. Or if you go to restaurants every single night for dinner, maybe it's only going to restaurants 3 nights this week. You know, it doesn't have to be so drastic, but it should be something that is realistic for you to attain.
And as you start to keep, well, once you keep one promise to yourself, then you can go a little bit bigger. You can keep a bigger promise to yourself, or maybe you can keep the same promise and make another commitment, and you can build upon that. And then you start getting momentum and you start building this trust in yourself that and knowing that anything you say you're going to do, you know that you're going to follow through. And so then you can start to be really bold with your goals.
And I think what's cool about this too is when you start building up the foundation of your house and then you start building up the walls and you start creating your rooms and all those kinds of things, I sometimes when we talk about it, it's like, oh, once you do this, you can always be in integrity with yourself and always keep promises that you keep to yourself. And that's actually like not the reality. Like life still happens. You still get stressed out. There's still so many blind spots that you have that make it so difficult for you to maintain that integrity with yourself. But because you have such a solid foundation, like let's say now what's like one thing I say I want to do every day? Like, for me, it could be, every single morning I would love to journal in the morning, and I'm a little bit better at it now because Michael's been coaching me and he's been giving me some questions to journal about each day. But when I wanted to, I would just be so overwhelmed by not knowing what to write, and I would be out of integrity with myself. Almost every morning I wouldn't journal. I would see the journal, I would like totally ignore it, and I wouldn't do it. But I'm definitely out of integrity with myself in that moment. And I think even when you're good at these types of things, there's still moments where you're out of integrity with yourself, but you have this foundation of I'm still doing all the other things. I've still built up all of this trust with myself. And now I'm just like, now I can start pushing my edge. Like, now I can start reaching for things that are a little bit outside of my comfort zone, that are a little bit scary, that are actually really difficult, because I've built up this base that I know if I need to dial it back, like, okay, I'm totally stressed out, I'm really like not doing well right now, I can dial it back to what I know I'm capable of and what makes me feel good and makes me trust myself, and then work my way back up.
The next one is enrollment. And enrollment means, I'll give you an example. If I say that I want to get down to 8% body fat, enrollment would be for me to share this commitment with a D, with those around me, so that they can, so that they are moved, inspired, and they can hold me accountable to this goal. One of the biggest mistakes people make is that they only try to change themselves, and they try to do it all by themselves. And if you've ever heard, I know you've heard some version of the adage, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with.
Mm-hmm.
People try to skirt this all the time. The bottom line is that we need the people around us to, or the people around us shape who we are. And so we need to enroll them in the possibility that we're creating for ourselves.
And I think a lot of time when people don't share, it comes out of that, it goes back to courage. Like, it takes courage to share and risk not actually accomplishing what you're saying you're going to do. That risk is there. Mm-hmm. That risk is there. But I promise you, you're 100% more likely to not accomplish what you're saying you're going to accomplish if you don't enroll others in that. And sometimes I'll try and enroll people in the craziest things. Like, I'm going to do XYZ, or like, I'm going to run a 50-mile race. And I'll just say it in any opportunity I think I could enroll people in my life, to say, that's something I want to do. They say, like, what's new in your life right now? Well, I'm working towards running a 50-mile race. You know, the more you say it out loud, the more that it becomes a part of your reality. Mm-hmm. If it's in your head and nobody else knows about it, it's really easy to be like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, and nobody else knows about it. So it's easy, because nobody's going to ask me about it. Nobody's going to follow up with me on it. Mm-hmm. No one's going to call me out if I'm not doing my workouts every single day. Like, it's such an easy out if you don't share.
Right. And this is different than bragging about something that you're working on, right? It's not, she's not bragging about running a 50 miler as if she already did it. She's saying something like, I'm committed to training for a 50 mile race.
Right.
And then they can hold her accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's finish with this. How do you know what to work on? So how do you personally know what you want to work on next?
Well, I think what we could also add is like ways that people could get started on like working on personal development for themselves. But for me, how do I get started was the question.
Just how do you know what you want to work
on?
How
do I know what I want to work on next? I don't think I ever know. I mean, maybe that's not the answer you were looking for, but I don't think I ever know what I want to work on next. I think I go towards the thing that I'm going to be most consistent with in that particular period of time. So there are like my favorite methods of self-discovery and personal development and all that type of stuff is I love to journal. I love to meditate. I love to exercise. I love to spend time by myself doing things, doing like nothing productive at all. And I love to make like deep, meaningful relationships within my community. And those are five things that I do that help me learn about myself. And maybe the six would be like go on some level of an adventure, like some course or something that's like really makes me scared, or like a backpacking trip or going to the Landmark Forum or doing something like that. So I think it's like in that particular moment in my life, like what do I think I'm going to be most consistent with? Mm-hmm. Like if I'm traveling all over the place, journaling every single morning is not a realistic thing for me to start working on. So that's not what I work on. If I'm that maybe I'm focused on like just getting to the gym every single day, and I think that's realistic and that's what I'm focused on. I'm looking for like the lowest common denominator almost all the time. Like, where am I going to have integrity with myself and not set myself up to want to work on something that I don't have the capacity for in this moment?
Gotcha. Yeah, I would add to that I just look for where I'm in the most amount of pain and work on that, because I know working on that area of my life is going to give me the most amount of energy.
What if you're not feeling in any pain?
If I'm not feeling in any pain, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a good one. Yeah. I don't know how I do that. Usually there's some like blockage or pain that I'm in because I'm not searching for like a higher level. In my career recently, I absolutely loved what I was doing with Brute and with WAG, but I knew there was something, some level of that I wasn't going for, and that was painful. And it was that I wasn't doing some kind of personal development coaching with people. That's something I've known I wanted to do for so long. And in the back of my mind, there was this, I don't think I've ever been very conscious of it, but I was always feeling just at least a little bit out of alignment because I knew there was this thing I wanted to do that I wasn't doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I had this experience in Ireland that inspired me to just go for it. And it was because I felt that pain.
Yeah. I think sometimes like you're well experienced and well practiced in this type of work. So it might be, you might notice that pain more, like you might be more attuned to it, where someone like me, like I feel like I can go throughout my life not feeling like I have any pain points sometimes. Like I can go months being like, everything feels great. It doesn't, maybe not necessarily like so amazing. I'm not on top of the world, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be doing practices to help me with personal development, right? So in those moments, what I mean by like just doing the thing I'm going to be most consistent with, I do that in the hopes, and often that's how it works, is that it just comes out through those practices. Because I think all of them can show you something. So I'm just like waiting to see like what it is that can make things better or show me what I haven't seen before. But I don't know if I'm like totally in touch with like where I can sometimes feel like I have pain, or I am anxious, or I am, or I'm feeling those things. But a lot of times I don't know where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to focus on. I think for me personally, it's just like doing something consistently that allows me to self-reflect or challenge myself.
Well, I agree, and I think there's more to it. So a couple of the things I have down here are really great ways of figuring out what to work on next. One is hang around wise people. Hang out with people that are working on themselves. Hang out with people that are having what I would call like switched on conversations about things that they're really pumped about. And you can see yourself in like the issues that they're going through. You can see yourself in what they're learning. And you can also do the second one, which is ask other people what you can work on, right? Because
love that.
We all have blind spots in our lives. Which are things that we are unaware of about ourselves that other people are aware of.
Totally.
We can, you know, it's basically like if we're walking forward, we can't see our back, but someone else walking behind us can see our back. In all of our relationships, there's probably something in the way that we're behaving or something about us that other people can see that we can't see.
Yeah. I think that's a really good one. If you have, like, if you're, you want to be working on something and you're not sure exactly where to go, ask somebody and they can point you in a direction, and at least it's going to be moving you forward. Mm-hmm. And also to add to the hang out with people who are wise and have switched on conversations. I like that. I've never heard you say that.
That's a Michael Gervais special.
Oh, I like that. I think to add to that, I've recently been trying to hang out with people that I want to be more like. So most of my closest relationships, I mean, especially my girlfriends that are I've become much closer with in Austin, I have a couple girlfriends that they have traits about them that I want to be more like they are more nurturing or more in touch with their femininity. And it's something I want to be more like. So just hanging out with them and spending time with them is like making that rub off on me, because I watch them and I pay attention to them and I think about the things they say or the way they treat their husbands, and it helps me develop myself. So I think some people befriend people that like make them feel better. Yes. Like you have friends that maybe they come to you for advice all the time, or they're trying to be more like you and that makes you feel amazing. But having the courage to have friends that are better than you in certain ways, or more developed than you in certain ways. Mm-hmm. I think all my friends are freaking total badasses, that they have things about them that I have not totally adopted quite yet, but I'm like really working on. So picking friends that are better than you.
I saw a Neil Strauss or Simon Sinek quote. I can't remember who said it. Something like, it's okay to always be the dumbest person in the room as long as you're continually hanging out in smarter and smarter rooms.
Yes.
Right? So it's totally cool to be the person that is learning from others as long as you're continuing to push yourself and hang out with wise people.
And I guarantee you they're learning from you too, for sure.
One thing that I've had a lot of people do, especially at the Brute Retreat, is to do an exercise to start to build some self-awareness. And it is this. So if you're listening, I encourage you to do this. Start a text message on your phone and type in the name of someone whose opinion really matters to you, someone that you trust, someone that knows you pretty well. And in the text message, say, hey, Mike Cashew is extremely attractive, also crazy, and he gave me this exercise to do on the Brute Strength podcast today. And I'm supposed to ask you, what is one thing that you think I'm really good at and one thing you think I can work on in life? And then press send. And several things are going to happen. One, you're going to get... if you don't already know what your that strength is or that thing that you do really well, you're going to get access to what he or she thinks you're really good at. And then you're going to get one thing that you can actually go and work on and make that your first personal development project. Or if you're already into this kind of thing, then just your next personal development project. The second thing that it'll do is it creates a stronger relationship with that person almost immediately. A lot of them will probably want that same feedback from you. And it starts a relationship where you're really looking out for each other and pushing each other to be the best version of themselves.
That is one of my favorite exercises. Every time he does it at the Brute Retreat, I do it too. So I've done it like 4 or 5 times. And my biggest piece of advice to anybody who's actually going to do this, which is all of you, of course, you should, whenever you get the response from that person, that you make a commitment to yourself that you are not going to get defensive. You have solicited feedback from this person, and making them feel bad about providing feedback for you is a very quick way for someone to never want to give you feedback ever again. And even if you disagree with what they think that you can work on, it's worth trying it on. So I like to talk about it like you're going to the store and you're gonna buy a new sweater. You don't buy every single sweater you try on, but at least put the sweater on, go in front of the mirror, take a really good look at yourself from the side, from the back, from the front. Does it fit you right? Is it possible that
take
maybe
a selfie.
Yeah, maybe you didn't like it on the hanger, but when you get it on, it totally fits and this is your sweater.
Give an example of this.
Like, you could give me feedback that,
I say, okay, let's say I told you every time you bring up, something that you're, that you want me to do, you say it aggressively. Maybe okay. I say that to you.
Yeah. So maybe every time I bring up something that I want to do, I say it in an aggressive way. And that's something I could like start paying attention to and get better at and work through. And I immediately am like, no, I don't. Like, I don't do that. And then I could get defensive and snap at you about it. Like, I can't even believe you think I do that. And how could you believe that I would be that way? I'm obviously not that way.
You have all this evidence of times that you weren't like that.
Exactly. And I'm not aggressive. And that's not the kind of person I am. I can't believe you think that about me. Or I could be like, this is someone who really loves me. This is someone who I asked for feedback from. This is obviously something that they see in me. So there is some level of truth to that. I'm going to just accept the feedback, thank them for giving me the feedback. I don't have to tell them what I think about the feedback, and then try it on like a sweater. And maybe if I do actually take the time to think about it and see what it feels like, then I can choose to agree and take that sweater home, or I can put the sweater back and say that doesn't fit for me and that's not something I agree with. But at least you have to take an honest look at it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And then finally, a really good way to figure out your next thing that you want to work on. This is a set of questions that I got from a friend of mine that I've been having some of our staff do recently. And the questions are this. Number one, what area of your life do you want to make a breakthrough in? It could be your career, relationships, a relationship with yourself, your fitness, your health. What area of your life do you want a breakthrough in? Two, what do you want in this area? Be as specific as possible. Three, why do you want that? Four, what would having that do for you? What would having that thing do for you? Five, how will you know when you get that? This one's really important because I could say I want to be the best entrepreneur possible, but how do I really know when I've gotten that thing? How do I know when I've accomplished this breakthrough? How do I know when I've broken through? So how will you know when you get that? And then six, I think I'm still on track. Six, what's something in your life right now that you value? What's something in your life right now that you value that you think you might have to give up in order to get what you want? I'll repeat that one time. What's something in your life right now that you value that you think you might have to give up in order to get what you want? So a lot of times we are already aware of how to break through things in our lives, but unconsciously we're not taking action towards them. We're not moving in that direction because we're really afraid of giving something up. So it could be something like I say that I want to get 8% body fat. I'll go back to that one. I want to get down to 8% body fat. And I know to get there, I have to eat out less and track my macros. You know, maybe I've identified exactly how I can get there, but unconsciously I'm afraid of losing friendships. Right? I'm afraid of not being able to go out and losing friendships. Mm-hmm. Now that objection right there could be complete bullshit, but this gives us a chance to identify that and to see if it's bullshit or if it's reality. Right.
Otherwise it festers and it is reality in your head.
Right.
And yeah, that story you create in your head of like, I'm going to lose my friends is real until you put it out loud and someone can be like, oh no, that's actually not real.
Right. And it's not like you're consciously consciously keeping this from yourself or consciously ignoring this. A lot of times these things are just like below the surface and we're not even aware that we have these beliefs. So again, that's just a really cool exercise to figure out what you want to break through in, and just put some detail to what you want in a specific area of life. This was very enjoyable. I like talking to you.
I agree. I like talking to you too.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed this. Hope you learned something. You can find this young lady at Adzayoux. That's Cazayoux. I should have spelled your first name too.
I know. Seriously, I was thinking that.
Adzayoux. I just spelled her last name.
I'm sure it'll be in the show notes.
And I'm at Michael Cazayoux. Same last name.
You can find both of us at Working Against Gravity.
And at brute.strength. Have a great day.
This episode is finished, but your training journey continues. Head over to brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW and grab your free pack of 32 accessory workouts that you can incorporate into your training and start improving your strength immediately. That's brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW.